Welcome back to The Deep Dive. So, if you've been paying any attention at all to the global economy lately, you've seen some truly baffling movements.
Baffling is a good word for it.
Right. We had that huge, just sustained surge in demand after the pandemic lockdowns. And then we all watched as firms, the production side of the economy, just couldn't scale up. They struggled to meet it.
And the result, I mean, the painful result we all lived through, rising inflation.
Exactly.
It was more than just a struggle, though. It was really a perfect storm that showed how real-world friction can just, throw the textbook models out the window.
Which is what we're digging into today.
Yeah, today we're doing a deep dive into some academic research that builds a framework, a new Keynesian model that's designed to capture exactly how two very specific and very realistic market frictions interact.
And these two frictions are, I mean, they're absolutely critical to understanding whether we get higher prices or higher output when demand suddenly changes.
They really are.
The first one is what economists call real rigidity, which is basically just sticky capacity. It's firms choosing their production inputs, things like, hiring a bunch of people or building a new factory before they actually know what the real demand is going to be.
Exactly. They have to commit based on, well, a guess. And the second friction is incomplete information. Firms almost never have a perfect immediate picture of what's happening. They're basically operating in a fog.
So our mission today is to figure out how these two things, the sticky capacity and the foggy information, affect how a demand shock actually passes through the whole economy. Does it give us a boom in growth or just, a terrible inflationary headache?
And here's the core tension we really want you to grasp. It turns out that seemingly small modeling assumptions about which friction is the dominant one. Is it the inertia in real things like employment or the inertia in prices?
So real rigidities versus nominal rigidities.
Precisely. That choice leads to completely opposing macroeconomic predictions. And of course, radically different advice for central banks.
Okay, so let's unpack that first scenario, the one that really isolates the effect of sticky production. This feels, to me at least, closest to what we all saw during the supply chain crisis.
It does. In this first scenario, we assume firms choose their main inputs, let's say their staffing levels, based only on what they expect demand to be.
And that decision is locked in.
It's locked in before the real demand shock hits. But, and this is key, when the true shock is finally revealed, maybe the government announces a huge stimulus check, they do set their prices with full information, even if it costs them something to change the price tags.
So production is sticky because of bad info, but pricing is flexible.
Exactly. And when we run that model, we get our first really striking result. When firms have committed to a fixed capacity based on imperfect information, the impact of a demand shock on aggregate output is surprisingly small. It's dampened,
Okay.
but the impact on inflation is significantly amplified.
Now that is genuinely counterintuitive. If demand skyrockets, why aren't firms just making a ton more stuff? Why does it all just hit the price tag?
Well, this is where, the physics of the factory floor become the math of macroeconomics. Because the firm's fixed inputs, the number of machines they have, the core staff they hired months ago, those can't adjust to a sudden spike in demand.
So they have only one lever left to pull.
Just one. They have to squeeze more out of what they already have.
They have to rely on the intensive margin.
That's the term. They have to dramatically ramp up hours for existing staff, maybe offer huge overtime bonuses, run equipment 24/7.
They're just forcing more production out of an insufficient base.
And because of standard diminishing returns, you can only push a fixed factory so far. That forced surge in utilization leads to a sharp, immediate, and frankly, massive spike in their marginal costs.
The cost of producing just one more unit.
It goes through the roof.
Yeah.
And that spike in cost gets passed directly to the consumer as inflation. The demand translates into cost push inflation first, not expansion.
So what you're saying is the sticky capacity fundamentally changes the relationship between output and prices. You only need a tiny bump in output to get a huge amount of inflation.
Yes, the cost structure becomes incredibly sensitive, and that sensitivity triggers an immediate and powerful counterreaction from monetary policy.
The central bank.
The central bank sees those runaway prices and does what it's supposed to do, follows the Taylor principle, and raises interest rates aggressively to cool things down.
It has to step in to fight the inflation.
It has to. And that required contractionary policy then actively works to offset the initial expansionary demand shock. The expansion gets choked off by the necessary inflation fight.
So the big policy takeaway from this first model is that if firms have sticky capacity because of uncertainty, then any demand stimulus is just highly inflationary. It gives you price pain and triggers a quick policy response that kills the output growth.
Right. If supply can't follow demand quickly, stimulus just becomes a pricing exercise.
Okay, now let's flip it. Let's introduce the competing friction and see how it just completely turns the results on their head. What happens if that incomplete information doesn't just mess up a firm's hiring, but also makes it really hard to change its sticker prices?
Right. This is the alternative model, where the nominal rigidities, the sticky prices, dominate.
Mm-hmm.
And the results here are, well, they're completely overturned. In this world, less information actually leads to amplified output volatility and, crucially, dampened inflation.
That is the exact opposite of the first case. Why on earth would output volatility shoot up when prices become sticky?
The intuition really comes back to that policy response. When firms are setting prices with imperfect information, maybe they only update their menus once a quarter, or they're just afraid of confusing customers, prices become far less responsive to any surprises in demand.
The price signals get muted.
Very muted. And because inflation is dampened, it doesn't spike. That endogenous policy response from central bank, that big interest rate hike, is either much weaker or it just doesn't happen at all.
Ah, so the central bank doesn't see the big red flag of high inflation, so it doesn't step in to counter the demand shock.
Exactly. And without that policy counteracting the shock, the original demand shock just translates much more fully into physical changes in the economy.
It goes straight into production and output.
Directly. And that increases the volatility of real economic activity. I mean, if prices were perfectly stuck, inflation would be zero, and the central bank would just ignore the demand shock entirely.
Which leads to this really fascinating theoretical point in the research, the irrelevance of real rigidities. When information frictions cause both sticky prices and sticky production, you're saying the sticky production part just stops mattering.
It becomes almost irrelevant, yes. A firm's inability to adjust its capacity hardly matters if it can't adjust the price of the final good anyway. The sticky price dominates the entire transmission mechanism.
This is so critical for you, the listener, to grasp. We have two very realistic models, and they give you completely contradictory predictions.
Let me just summarize that conflict. Model A, where sticky production dominates, says that uncertainty leads to higher inflation, but less output volatility because the central bank comes in and cleans up.
Okay.
Model B, where sticky prices dominate, says uncertainty leads to lower inflation but higher output volatility because the central bank stays on the sidelines.
That is a huge conflict. If you're a policymaker, knowing which model is right is, I mean, it's the difference between correctly fighting inflation and accidentally causing a massive recession.
It forces you to ask, what's the real source of the friction out there?
Let's shift gears a little bit because there's another fascinating consequence of this sticky production framework. And that's how firms' expectations all by themselves can warp the economy by changing the what economists call the natural level of output.
Yes. This brings us to what the paper calls the cost push analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Because firms commit to inputs. They hire the workers. They sign the leases in advance. Based on their expectations, those expectations literally change what the economy can efficiently produce.
So my beliefs about the future actually change the physical capacity of the economy today.
They do. And those expectations about future demand end up behaving just like a supply shock, like an oil crisis or a sudden drop in productivity. They create inflationary pressures that look identical to a central bank.
Okay, walk me through an example.
Sure. Let's say firms are suddenly really worried about a recession next year. Maybe they misread some data. Based on that pessimistic expectation, they cut back on hiring, they cancel investments, they choose what turns out to be insufficient production capacity.
But then, you know, time goes by and the recession never comes. Realized demand is perfectly normal.
They're caught completely flat-footed. They have too little capacity to meet perfectly normal demand. And that capacity constraint, which was born entirely out of a misperception months earlier, generates immediate inflation.
Wow.
Prices rise simply because there aren't enough goods to go around.
And the central bank sees that high price signal. It doesn't know it came from a bad forecast. It just sees inflation.
And it's forced to act. It has to contract economic activity to close that gap between supply and demand. It's reacting to an expectation shock as if it were a genuine supply crisis.
That makes diagnosing the economy incredibly difficult. Was that inflation surge because consumers were too rich or because CEOs were too pessimistic 6 months ago?
The effect on inflation looks exactly the same. It is a supply-side illusion created by misfired expectations on the demand side.
Which means managing expectations is not just about psychology, it's about managing physical capacity and inflation directly. This makes central bank communication forward guidance incredibly important.
It becomes incredibly powerful, but also incredibly risky.
Let's talk about that risk. Because the research shows that the benefit of forward guidance, the central bank clarifying its interest rate path, depends entirely on which of these models is true.
It's a crucial divergence. Let's stick with scenario A, where sticky production is the main problem. If firms think the central bank is going to tighten policy way more than it actually intends to, they'll slash capacity in anticipation of a huge slowdown.
And when that slowdown doesn't come, you get inflation.
Right. Insufficient capacity causes inflation and a contraction. But in this case, if the central bank offers clear forward guidance, clarifying its true, softer stance,
what happens?
That forward guidance mitigates the downturn. It tells firms the future isn't so grim, which encourages them to maintain capacity, stabilizing output, and preventing that inflationary cost spike.
Okay, so communication helps, but that benefit totally flips in scenario B, the sticky prices case.
It does. In that world, if firms expect a higher rate than intended, they anticipate lower demand, and they might cut their sticker prices today, leading to deflation. Now, that deflation can actually stimulate excessive output.
An accidental stimulus.
Exactly. And here, the central bank's forward guidance, by clarifying that policy will be softer, actually prevents that accidental stimulus. If the economy is already weak, that could make a recession even worse.
So clear communication either saves the day or makes things worse, and you don't know which until you know the true source of rigidity. That is a high-stakes bet.
It is. Which brings us to the all-important question. Which model actually fits the real-world data? We have to test these things.
How do you even begin to test for something like that?
Well, the researchers devised a clever method. They needed a clean measure of what they called a demand information surprise, a moment when firms suddenly learned demand was stronger than they thought without any supply shocks confusing the picture.
And they separated those two.
They did. They used demand-driven industrial production surprises. They looked at monthly IP changes that were not explained by things like oil prices or productivity shifts. This cleaned IP surprise is their proxy for firms getting new information about demand. Then they just tracked what happened to core inflation in the following months.
Okay, so let's lay out the opposing bets for everyone listening. What does each model predict this test will show?
Model A, the sticky production model, predicts that when firms get good news about demand, a positive IP surprise, they should immediately prioritize expanding capacity, ramping up supply. And this expansion of supply capacity should lead to a fall in future inflation.
More information about demand leads to lower inflation down the road.
Yes. But Model B, the sticky price model, predicts the opposite. News about a positive demand shock should lead to firms trying to raise their prices, resulting in higher, amplified inflation.
So the data should show a really clear spike or a dip. What did it show?
The findings were statistically significant and quite clear. The data shows a decisive fall in inflation following a positive demand surprise.
And that is the smoking gun. It's entirely consistent with the model where real rigidities, or sticky production, are the binding constraint.
Exactly. It suggests that when firms learn that demand is stronger than they expected, their main response is to adjust and expand their production capacity, not to immediately hike prices.
That's a crucial finding. So, to wrap this all up, our deep dive really points to one unmistakable takeaway. The source of market rigidity, whether it's sticky capacity or sticky prices, fundamentally changes everything. And the data suggests it's the sticky capacity that matters most.
And we have to reiterate that critical trade-off that comes with this. More information allows firms to adjust supply more effectively, which is great. It reduces inflation. But that stability comes at a cost.
Which is?
Because the central bank doesn't have to step in so forcefully. The original demand shock translates more fully into real output changes, leading to greater volatility in real economic activity.
So we trade a less inflation volatility for more output and employment volatility. That's the deal.
That's the trade-off. And let me leave you with this one final thought. Building on that idea of expectations acting like a supply shock, we've established that firms' misperceptions can create inflation that mimics a real productivity crisis.
Right.
Well, if that's true, how much of the inflation we might see now or in the future is driven simply by subjective misperceptions or pessimistic forecasts in corporate boardrooms rather than actual fundamental changes in the cost of energy or labor?
It suggests corporate psychology might be a much more powerful inflationary force than we usually give it credit for. A lot to think about. Thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Until next time.